Be seated. Let us continue right quickly. Amen. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader this morning. But Deacon, turn to Titus. Everyone turn to Titus. You know where to go. Amen. Chapter 3, verses 5, 6, 7. That is our base. Also, hopefully you still got the excerpt from the document, the Scripture Doctrine of Regeneration, the excerpt, the Scripture Application of Belief in Baptism. There are some in the back. Hopefully those of you took them and put them in your Bible, so you just pull them out this morning. Amen. And we're coming into the home stretch. We have been on dissertation regarding regeneration now for some time, many months. Amen. I think this is probably our presentation number 33. And we have finished, as I said to you earlier, part one of our document, the Scripture Doctrine of Regeneration. I'm going to give it to you in probably some four parts or so, amen, but I'm going to hold part one and at a later date give it to you. I want you to take these excerpts I've given you this morning, the excerpt we shall be looking at, the Scripture Application of Belief and Baptism. There should be one in the back if you don't have one. Hopefully you do. All right. In doing the excerpt on belief in baptism, we had focused on three verses of Scripture. One was Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Here, historically speaking, this conveyance is doing the ministry of Jesus and on earth. And then Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we had gone through that last week. That is historically depicted on what they call the day of Pentecost. Amen. And we had gone through that. We shall touch some reiteration this morning upon it. But I really want to focus on what the one baptism is according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. What the one baptism is in the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said there's only one. In doing this, we shall go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And so get these scriptures all together and in the document, and we shall move forward. All right, we start out, as we always do, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Amen. Nothing is more important than your salvation.
Amen.
Nothing touching life is more important than the subject of your salvation. Mm-hmm. Your salvation is more important than your job. Mm-hmm. Pastor, you said about your amen.
Preacher.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Something may happen to the job.
Right.
But if you learn this, you'll know that nothing can ever happen to your salvation.
All right.
Amen. Your job is dealing with, amen, your temporary abode and the sustenance. Amen. Your salvation is dealing with your eternal security.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. And so we start with salvation because whatever we understand about salvation, it basically sets the basis of what we feel and think about everything else. Mm-hmm. And so here we seek to give information solidifying the security of your salvation.
Yes.
Amen. And from that, you can launch forth knowing that God has certainly secured it. And if he has done that, which is the greatest thing concerning you, then he certainly will take care of the lesser things.
Praise
All right. Everyone got Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Say amen.
Yeah.
All right. Brother Deacon, for the sake of time, even though we are in pretty good shape for time this morning, I still want to spend most of it over there dealing with the belief in baptism aspect. But we always go to Titus for the purpose of establishing through the reading of the word exactly what your salvation or what it means to be saved and what is your status as being saved. What is regeneration? What have you become? Amen. When did you become? How did you become? Amen. We go back over this over and over and over and over again, and we shall go back over it over and over and over again. I, God, because I can't think of anything that's more prevalent and relevant to this life,
All right.
amen, than for us to get this one subject straight. Okay, Brother Deacon, I want also for you to take your Greek interlineals, those that have them, and Brother Deacon, for the sake of time, let's start out reading in the Greek this morning, the interlineal. Those of you who have King James, you don't have the interlineal, just follow along, amen. Reading is similar, and what we're going to is just to make sure for the record that we have the statement concerning just what it is and how you've got to be regenerated and when you were regenerated. All right? From the interlineal, chapter 3. Titus, that is, chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Everybody got it again? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Brother Deacon, read. Titus.
Not by works in righteousness.
Not by works of righteousness. And here, basically, he's saying your salvation, your regeneration, amen, take all the works off the table.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. And here it sets historically where it was done, which automatically takes it off the table. Read.
Which did we.
Mm-hmm.
But according to his mercy, the mercy of him.
According to his mercy.
He saved us.
He saved us.
Through washing of regeneration.
He saved us.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yes. My Lord. Essocene. Mm-hmm. He saved. Here you have an indicative aorist.
Right.
He saved us.
Right.
Your salvation is a past completed action.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Even more than that, it is a past completed fact. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. How did he do it?
Through washing of regeneration
uh-huh.
and renewal spirit of holy.
Through the Holy Spirit, the washing regeneration. Here you have double genitive. We've gone through that. I won't go through that again. Amen. Double genitive. Oh, hallelujah. Regeneration, being saved, being born again. Again, that word is again birthed.
Mm-hmm.
It's broken down to its components.
Right.
It is again birthed. Yeah. That which you were in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
amen.
Yeah.
That which we manifestly returned to, which was always there.
Right.
Amen. God saved you in eternity. Before you were ever placed into these bodies, God saved you. You belong to him.
Yes.
Ephesians 1 and 4, he called you out and he chose you and he placed you in the body of Christ in eternity. Ephesians 1, 4, 5. I know it reads, to be holy. There, amen, you have a present infinitive. It's present. Not to be. Amen.
Yeah.
Present means now. It's a, check it out grammatically. So that means your being holy or separated runs concomitant. Mm-hmm. It runs, it accomplishes, it goes along with the choice. Mm-hmm. God, if he chooses you, amen, the salvation goes along with the choice. Mm-hmm. The fact, amen, the fact of choice is also the fact of setting you apart.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Him choosing you and calling you out is setting you apart.
Right.
Amen.
All right. I don't want to get hung up there. Keep reading.
Verse 6.
Uh-huh.
Which he shed on us richly.
Mm-hmm.
Through Jesus Christ.
As a clean. Pour it. Mm-hmm. Whoever, amen, is pouring something on you, they have control of it.
Right.
Amen. So he poured on us what?
Richly.
Mm-hmm.
Through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us.
All right. So the Holy Spirit, the renewing Holy Spirit, washing, regeneration, all poured on you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, my God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Here again, you have from the grammar, you have a past completed
right.
action.
Right.
He poured upon you. Amen. When did he do it? Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. Again, as we look into the first chapter of Ephesians, without a doubt, the workings of salvation are eternal.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Read.
Verse 7.
Uh-huh.
In order that, having been justified.
That's right. He's not reading that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that's, amen, again, at the participle, it's the aorist tense.
Yes.
Not being, but having been justified. When were you justified? You were justified when you were chosen.
Right.
Oh my God.
Amen.
You were justified when you were sanctified.
Thank you, Lord.
You were justified when you were placed in the body of Christ.
Right.
So having been justified, keep reading.
By the of that one grace.
By his grace.
Heirs we might be
again,
having.
Might become, but that again, while it absolutely is in the you have the aorist tense and you have the subjunctive mood.
Right.
While it is a probability,
right.
As expressed in our language in recognition of the manifestation of time, amen, we cannot ignore the aorist tense that it is a past completed action. Because it has been decreed. And so when we say we might become heirs, we might become, having become heirs. He cannot choose you. He cannot sanctify you. He cannot justify you. He cannot place you in the body of Christ without making you an heir. So all of this happened in eternity. Oh my God. Hallelujah. And so we are heirs. Another place, it speaks about heirship, and it speaks about it, amen, as a present possession, amen, that is certified by a previous act of it having come to pass. So you are heirs because you were heirs.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Isn't that something? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. There's no guesswork in salvation. There's no guesswork in it. Oh, my God.
Glory.
I have to wonder about this thing.
Thank you, Lord.
It's done. God did it for you. He did it for you before you got here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. If you don't worry about something, you just got to worry about something. Let it be a couple of bills. Don't let it be your salvation.
Oh, man.
You just got to worry about something. If you're not satisfied unless you worry about something, don't put salvation in that bag.
Right.
Oh, my God took care of it a long time ago, didn't he? Huh? Yeah, oh, my God. Isn't that something? Huh? That's the good news.
Yeah,
amen. That's the thing that should make life meaning, that brings meaning to life. Amen. And joy to life. And peace to life. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. All right. Did you finish reading it up, Brother Deacon?
Last raise.
All right.
According to a hope of life eternal.
According to eternal life. according to eternal life. Titus 1 and 2. Conveyance is our hope of eternal life. Amen. Is based on the fact that God decreed it. God decreed it. He decreed it. And he decreed it before times. What's before times? Eternal. Eternal. So he decreed it before times. Eternal. What? If you're going to say when you're saved and you're reading that, what does before times eternal mean? It means in eternity, before time. That's what it means. All right, let's go to our document. We have been dealing with belief in baptism as we have dealt with some of the other aspects. And here again, we express our deep love for the body of Christ and for God's people. Thank God for each one. You're very precious. I'm saying this for those that are here as well as those that may be hearing this. Amen. Through the internet, through the airways, whatever. You must understand that if God did it in eternity, then all of these prescriptions that have been thrown at you as prescriptions of obtaining salvation in time, that it just doesn't jive.
Right.
Amen. It just doesn't. Huh? We previously had given you the scripture application of repenting, believing, and and so, you know, confessing, believing, repenting, telling you that these are the ways to be saved. And here the scripture is letting us know, amen, that he saved us in eternity. Amen. Now, what happens in time is that you receive the revelation of your salvation.
Right.
You, the day that you say that you were saved is actually the day that you realize that God saved you in eternity. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's not the way it goes down with the majority of Christendom believe, amen, that their salvation is ontologized when they, quote, believe.
Right.
That their belief has, amen, has activated their salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so we have all of these prescriptions. We had gone through repenting, believing, and now we're dealing with belief and baptism. The most divisive of all of the doctrines that have plagued men down through the last couple of millennium is one of them would be, amen, the doctrine of baptism. What is baptism? Paul, amen, basically in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, I think it is, said there's one Lord,
yes,
one faith, one baptism.
Yes.
Amen. Now, he is saying that there's one baptism, just taking that verse by itself. Amen. Now, we look at the author here, the one who is doing the writing, amen, as the Holy Spirit moves him, is the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul, background that he was a Pharisee.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel. He had schooling. He knew the law.
Yes.
Amen. And, of course, knowing the law, you go back to the law and you see many baptisms and many washings.
Right.
So what does Paul mean? What is he saying? There's only one baptism when there are many.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you must contextualize what he is doing. Here,
right,
in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, he is appealing for unity.
Mm-hmm.
But then also he says, the only thing that can unify us is the truth.
Right.
And so, for us to be unified, we must be together in understanding in the fact that there's only one gospel for this dispensation of grace, mm-hmm. in the gospel of grace, there is only one baptism. That's what he's saying. He didn't say, Paul is not saying there's only one baptism, period. He's saying in the gospel of grace, in the grace covenant, a grace contract, there's only one baptism. Now, if you don't divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants, of course you got big time problems.
Right.
You're going to go as far back the law where there are all type of rituals of washings, baptism, you go back. Into Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you go back and you see all type of washings, amen, that were instituted in the law.
Right.
So there were many
right.
baptisms. And then you go to the new covenant of the kingdom gospel. You go into Matthew and Mark. Luke, you go into John, you go into the areas of the apostles to the kingdom gospel, those that were commissioned with the kingdom gospel. I'm speaking of Peter, James, and John. You go in some of their epistles, and they're talking about baptism.
Right.
Amen. In this instance, you are still dealing with washing in the physical sense. Of rituals. All of the washings in the Old Testament were rituals.
Right.
They were ceremonies.
Right.
Amen. And in the New Covenant, New Testament, amen, they call it the New Testament, they take them and they combine them, amen, but the actual New Testament, a New Covenant, there is one.
Right.
Again, it is ritual, it is physical, and it is water. So anytime you are speaking, as we have dealt with them in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, amen, again, as the conveyance of Jesus, and he said to them, I'm at the top of page 2, having gone to all the world, proclaim the good news to all the creation. He who has believed and has been baptized, and that's the way it reads, we go into the Greek, amen, for the sake of time, amen, not in the present. He spoke of it as that which had been done, and then he said, shall be saved. It's in the future, manifestation-wise, which you have there. You have an indicative future, so you must tie a future fact, because nothing is a fact until, amen, it actually comes into existence. So you've got to go to the decree to deal with the fact that we're talking about a future fact. And so he said, those having been and haven't gone through, amen, these shall be saved. And those who have not, as he reads, and he who has not believed shall be condemned. Amen. And so this is preached, but it is preached in the present tense, and it is preached on the basis that the Lord is talking to us in this day, in this time, in this dispensation, and that is not the case. Do not look at Mark chapter 16, amen, and construe it as that which is written to you for this day and for this time. Amen. That is in inference to the stipulations of the new covenant.
Amen.
The new covenant is to Israel, is to Judah. You're neither one.
All right.
That's not to you.
All right.
Amen.
And so as we're going through these, we even see that it is not the way they read it now in the King James saying go. Actually, it is having gone.
No.
All right, I don't want to get hung up there. We've gone through that. You can check some of the past dissertations and presentations. You'll see what we're talking about as we have broken that down. Now I want you to go to page 5 brief again. I want to touch on Acts chapter 2, verse 38. That's the one, amen, that some entire organizations and denominations have cut their teeth on and they stand on as their foundation. Amen. Again, we love all of God's people. It's not our aim and purpose here to sow in the seeds of discord. Mm-hmm. Amen. We are not here to start a fight. All right. Amen. But we are committed to the truth. Sure. Amen. And as we read this, again, it is a message whom Peter identified the addressees. As he said, you men of Israel. Ye men of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Amen. If you are not of Israel and you are not of Judah, amen, this is not addressed to you.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Now, giving a little background without going into aspects time will allow, amen. Unless you all are willing to let me preach 2 hours this morning. I didn't think so. So we'll go, and what we will do is we will go into, we will give the background here again, 7 times 7. This is the Jewish holiday.
Right.
Pentecost.
Right.
Simply means 50. Mm-hmm. You have 7 Sabbath, and then the next day, amen. So you add 7 times 7, amen. 7 Sabbaths, 49. The next day, amen. 49 plus 1 is 50. That's all Pentecost means. It doesn't. That's all it means.
That's all.
Amen. I love the brethren, but that's all it means.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And not only is that all it means, amen, Pentecost has nothing to do with you as a Gentile and a member of the body of Christ.
No, I hear you.
Nothing.
I hear you. Right.
Nothing to do. Amen. So we have to set the record straight.
Amen.
So all of these Jews had come from all over the known world at this time. And those are the ones he said, ye men of Israel. And then the local folks, those that were dwelling within the city, he said, and you also. Amen. And basically, he preached to them as the chapter opens with a phenomenon of the manifestation of the Spirit by a sign.
Mm-hmm.
The rushing mighty wind, the cloven tongues,
amen,
the speaking of the divers language,
right,
because remember they had gathered there.
Right.
From many cultures and many languages.
Right.
The Jews had been scattered all over the world.
Right.
And so they heard each man speak in his own dialect.
Right.
Amen. And they were amazed.
Right.
And then Peter stood up and he preached, amen, a fantastic message.
Mm-hmm.
But the message that Peter preached in this chapter, amen, is to those whom he addresses and he identified as addressing, ye men of Israel, ye men of Judah. So this gospel that he preached is not your gospel. If you're a member of the body of Christ, this gospel that Peter preached is not for you.
Make it plain.
And so having gone through, Lipton rehearsed the fact that according to the new covenant, that which had been previously in the old covenant written on stones and tablets were now written into their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And here you have the new era of those of the law, amen, being kept and fulfilled by Jesus Christ. And through their belief and through their identification with him, they would receive the benefits of the keeping of the law. Amen. There are no such stipulations in the grace contract, in the grace covenant. You and I, we were never under the law.
Right.
Glory.
Never, never, never.
And so he preached to them. And as a response of the message, their hearts were pricked, and they asked the question, what must we do Amen. And here, this verse 38 is in response to it. All right, Brother Deacon, read first from the King James what is the generally accepted translation, and then we shall go to the Greek. Right. You can follow it on the in the document, but we're, amen. Mm-hmm. Acts 2, chapter 2, mm-hmm. verse 38. Now I know this is fighting words for some people.
Amen.
Oh yeah, you're messing with an entire denomination.
Absolutely.
Entire group.
Yeah.
You're pulling out the actual entrenchment of a foundation here. But we must tell the truth. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Everybody got to say amen. All right, read it the way the King James has it.
Acts 2:38.
Uh-huh.
Then Peter said unto them,
mm-hmm.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name
and
of...
And that was an answer to what they... Their question was, what must we do in light of what you have conveyed to us? And here, that is taken as a prescription,
mm-hmm.
amen, and directed to the church today. And many, amen, have basically set that up as part of their doctrine,
mm-hmm.
to teach that you cannot be saved unless you go through and do what supposedly was said there.
Right.
Hmm? Mm-hmm. And we're not going to read from the interlineal because they messed it up too.
Mm.
They've got it in the future. Mm. They've got it. Let's be baptized. Let be baptized. That's not what it said. Mm-hmm. Let's finish that up and then let's look at our document.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
All right, and that's the way it's read. The literal reading of it, and I gave you the actual literal reading, and by the way, anyone that's listening, you can go to the website, or you can call us or write us, and we will send you the document, the scripture application of belief in baptism, and from the manuscript documents, we have the actual script of what's there. And it is translated, and Peter said unto them, repented,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and baptized. Each one of you repented, not repent and be baptized. Amen. It's a difference between if you've done something, or if you're on the way to do it, or whether you should do it. But if it's already done, amen, you don't have to do something that's already done. Amen. So he said to them, repented and baptized, each one of you, upon the name of Jesus Christ, into remission, follow me now, into remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So the Greek words there, translated repented and baptized, they are in the imperative mood, in the aorist tense. Here we have commanding actions completed and assigned to the respondent, which means that those of the 3,000 that day that were added, amen, to the kingdom church, amen, they were responding to the command of God's decree. So in manifestation, they were locked into repenting and being baptized. Now, let's move down. If we look at this word baptize in the Greek, baptistito, which here again we use the modern Greek pronunciation, in lieu of Erasmus, would be baptized with V, it's not beta, it's vita. Baptistito, which is baptized, amen, we are speaking about water in this case. Mm-hmm. Now, we're speaking about a ceremony. We're speaking about a ritual. Mm-hmm. We're speaking about the new covenant. We're speaking about what the kingdom gospel conveys
right.
in light of the knowledge
right.
of the new covenant.
Right.
And none of this has anything to do with the one baptism that Paul is talking about. You all don't hear me.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 4 and 5. Now, this does not negate the fact that the baptism of the Spirit, follow me now, is in essence what places God's elect either into the Commonwealth of Israel or the body of Christ. Spiritual baptism has nothing to do with water.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, because we're following the dictates of the new covenant, the reference of baptism here is ritualistic and it has reference to water baptism. We won't argue with anyone, amen, that the writings prior to the revelation of the mystery are all referencing ritual or water baptisms.
Mm-hmm.
No fight with us on that.
Mm-hmm. Man. Yes, Lord.
We do have a problem. If you're going to try to take this and make this a requisite for being saved, no ritual or water baptism can save you. It was done in relationship to their identification.
Right.
Amen.
And so, as we said last week, amen, that is in reference to what was given to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to what Paul was talking about. Because remember now, he said there is only one.
Only one.
Amen.
Let's go to page 6. And then turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. If you want to know what baptism Paul was talking about. All right. Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right, Brother Deacon. Oh, man. That clock is still moving on me. Stop. Let's see. Let's start at verse 12. Read from the King James, then we'll go to the Greek Interlineal. Amen. Now, we are into the grace gospel.
Mm-hmm.
We're into the grace covenant.
Right.
We're focusing on the baptism that actually does place you
mm-hmm.
into the body of Christ.
All right.
I should say did place you
yes.
into the body of Christ. All right, read.
1 Corinthians 12 and 13, verse 13.
Mm-hmm. Start with verse 12.
All right. For as the body is one.
So he's talking about the body of Christ. He
mm-hmm.
is not talking about the Commonwealth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is not to the men of Israel and the men of Judea. This is to the body of Christ, composed of Jews and Gentiles, born and free, male and female.
Right.
Amen. No difference. Amen. The entity that you don't even hear about until you get to, amen, the information that is conveyed in the gospel of the grace of God that was revealed to Paul.
Right.
Glory.
And if you go outside of Paul's epistles,
mm-hmm.
you won't hear nothing about nobody. Not of Christ.
Nothing.
Which, by the way, is not a physical entity
Come on.
Or organization. the body of Christ, the church, as we spent a year and 52 presentations before you, conveying the glorious body of Christ, the church, and what it is. Here we're dealing with a statement that Paul made, that there's only one baptism. But he's making that specifically in relationship to those that he is addressing. He is not addressing those that Peter were addressing. He is addressing the body of Christ. He's talking about you.
That's right. Come on. Preach.
And me.
Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you. Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Read.
For as the body is one.
Mm-hmm.
And hath many members,
mm-hmm.
and all members of that one body, being many, are one body.
Mm-hmm.
So also is Christ.
So also Christ. Mm-hmm. So also Christ. Let's go to the interlinear for a second. Mm-hmm. Read that verse 12.
Greek interlinear verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12 and 12.
Mm-hmm.
For as the body one is.
For there's one body. Now you see one, you see those, the unity, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Hallelujah. The only way we are one is that what has caused us to be one has nothing to do with us, because there's much division
Come on.
among denominations.
Right.
And everybody's saying they're right. So how do you get one out of all of that? Because the one comes from what God did in eternity. Before all of us got here and started fussing and fighting. about it.
Hallelujah.
All right, read that.
For as the body one is, and members many has, but all the members of the body, many being, one is. One is body, so also Christ.
Also Christ. The body Christ. Not is Christ, the body Christ. The body Christ. When you say body, we're talking about the body that belongs to Christ.
Belongs to Christ. Right.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
Now, the underlying question, how do we get into this body? And that's where all the denominations come out the woodwork. Everybody has prescription and the way it's done. We got this thing all messed up, confused. Got people doing all kind of things. Got all type of rituals, washings that have nothing to do with us. Baptism. Water baptism has nothing to do with us.
Right.
Ooh, Pastor. Has nothing to do. One baptism.
All right.
And once we define this one baptism,
right,
if it's not water, if it's only one,
on,
what is that saying? If it's not water, then if it's and it's only one, then whatever baptism this is our baptism, and that's the only one. That's what it's saying. Baptism, read.
From the interlinear verse
13?
All right.
13.
1 Corinthians 12, 13 from the Greek interlinear. For indeed by one spirit.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And here is, amen, certification. I certify you. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Without controversy. For what?
By one spirit.
By one Spirit,
we all into one body
were baptized. The big difference between are and were. You cannot ignore the aorist tense here. Read.
Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all one Spirit, we were given to drink.
Were given drink. Were given. Were given. We were. Not we are, we were. Not that we're in the process. Every time somebody comes up and says they want to be saved, we were. All right, let's go back to our document. So from the Greek, in a little bit more fluent English form, the rendering is, for by one Spirit, page 6, now follow me, amen. I have to move quickly now, the time, amen, has moved on us. For by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all into one Spirit were. Everybody say were. We were given to drink. Here, we have an opening phrase here. Now, yes, I'm going to have to go to a little Greek here. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. In any pneumati is basically prefacing the type of baptism that is inferred. Amen. By one Spirit, we have the instrumental case identifying the mode of baptism by the Spirit, by one Spirit. Also, this may be in the locative case, which would bring the translation in one Spirit. So it could be by or in one Spirit.
Yes.
So it was by means of one Spirit, and whom we were all baptized, that is, baptized. We were placed, baptized, meaning we were placed until the end of having been identified and son positioned in the one body of Christ. That's your baptism.
Yeah. Lord, yes.
Here we have a passive voice.
Amen.
As we continue, amen, in the grammatical aspect, it certifies that no one can genuinely be a member of the body of Christ apart from such having been eternally placed and identified in it by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the baptizer.
Mm-hmm. Glory.
And the Holy Spirit doesn't baptize anybody in water. If it's the Spirit, it's not water. If it's water, it's not the Spirit. If it's water, it's ritual. If it's by the Spirit, it's got to be spiritual, because the spiritual doesn't perform any physical rites. So this is speaking about that which we've done. No, about what the Spirit did. Now, we have another phrase here, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free, which document that at the present time, during this church age, there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles, and we went over that when we were discoursing the body of Christ. Amen. We've all been positioned in Him solely on the basis of the faithfulness of Christ, went through that. And any correlation of between the ritual position and status of men And God's sovereign grace can only be negative. The last phrase is rendered, and all into one spirit were given to drink. I want you to stop and take close notice what is being conveyed here. The actual renderings, ke padins, ing numa epotisthimi, which is rendered, and all into one spirit were given to drink. Now, there's even some slight variation. Some of the Greek texts, amen. Of course, you know, those that have been in the class, the three classification of the Greek manuscript and text, Textus Receptus, majority text, and the critical text, there's some difference of the actual rendering of this phrase. But you know what clears that up? We've got the passive voice.
Right.
Each one of them has the passive voice. Mm-hmm. The passive voice clearly indicates that God gave his elect to drink the one spirit. That's what he's saying. Therefore, he identifies such ones with the in the body of Christ, the church, according to Ephesians chapter 22 and 23. Follow me now.
Yeah.
And take this with you. Hence, the many members were informed, influenced by one spirit. Mm-hmm. What's the one spirit? The Holy Spirit. And they all drank into one spirit. What's the spirit? The Holy Spirit. Hence, all the elect were made partakers of the gifts and graces of the Holy Spirit. And you have corroboration in John chapter 7, verses 38-39, quoted, "If one thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And this he said of the Spirit. This is corroborated now. This is another gospel, which those believing in him were about to receive. Speaking, when he say about to receive, it was about to be manifested.
Right.
As yet was not the Holy Spirit, because Jesus was not glorified. Amen. Didn't mean he didn't exist. Mean he hadn't been, what?
Amen.
Hadn't been manifested. Hadn't been manifested. Moving on. Unfortunately, there's a great profusion of various readings of the phrase, "For one spirit were all baptized," with the misunderstanding of water baptism. Here it should be comprehended that the conveyance is definitely not by water. You don't see by water in there, but by or in one spirit were we all baptized. For those who assign this baptism as a transient act in the sphere of time, must be understood, the baptism by water and by the Spirit are two different things.
Yeah.
We can even go to Matthew 3:11, Luke 3:16. Even in that gospel, there's a revelation that there's a difference between ritual water baptism and baptism by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Here it must be clearly stated that those who are baptized in water, follow me now, those baptized in water, they do so only in seeking to identify according to the directives of the kingdom gospel and new covenant, which are not applicable in the dispensation of grace. I think I'll repeat that. Those baptized in water do so only in seeking to identify according to the directives of the kingdom gospel and the new covenant, which are not applicable in the dispensation of grace. Also, in the grace covenant and grace gospel, which is your contract and your gospel, water baptism does not incorporate anyone, listen, water baptism does not incorporate anyone into the church of Christ, neither into the true and invisible church, which is the body of Christ. I'm going to repeat that. Water baptism does not incorporate anyone into the church of Christ, neither into the true and invisible church, which is the body of Christ. Hence, this verse that we have read is not meant to signify a visible church, nor is the elect baptized in about the Spirit into a visible church. He's not talking about a visible church, and neither are you baptized into, is speaking of being baptized into a visible church. The elect indeed were baptized and were received into the church, but no ritual or water baptism put them into it, nor made them members of it. Again, the elect indeed were baptized and received into the church, that is the body of Christ, but no ritual, no water, baptism put them into it, nor made them members of it. Now, some persons may be baptized in water, yet may not ever be joined to the true church of God. Just because the person comes up and say, I'll go through a ceremony, that doesn't certify that such one is in the church of God. We're not saying that they're not. But we're saying that this is not the indicia to use. Baptisms is not the indicia to use for placing somebody in the church. It's not the indicator. It's not the true indicator. It might be among denomination and religions and sects, but it is not, in essence, what places you or puts you into the body of Christ. Water doesn't do it. Now, baptism did place you there, but it was baptism by the Spirit. So, they ask the question, well, then how does someone get baptized by in the Spirit? Because they haven't gotten this right. They got to come up with some doctrine.
Right.
Well, the Spirit baptism is, you got to, quote, get the Holy Ghost. To get the Holy Ghost, you got to go into some prayer room. And you got to tarry. Pray, get on your knees, do something. And you better come up with a tongue. You better come up with some kind of language. Mm-hmm. If you don't know one, you better learn one.
Yeah.
And it better not be English.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Oh my God. No, because someone would ask. What is Spirit baptism? What does it mean to be baptized with the Spirit? So now we have to come up with something to show what that is. When if we had looked at it,
exegeted it.
Gave credence and recognition to the aorist tense, we would understand it was not about being baptized, but about the fact that you were baptized.
That's right.
And when were you baptized? Mm-hmm. Baptized in eternity. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? How can you be baptized before you even mean? What is baptism? You know, I guess that's the other question. your placement. To Israel, it is to place it into the commonwealth of Israel. Mm-hmm. To you, as it just said, by one spirit will we all baptized, are placed where?
Into one body.
Into, how would you get into the body unless you're placed in there? That's your baptism. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And since the Spirit is doing it, it's not about some ritual or something that someone is doing. All right, I see I'm not going to be able to finish this up today. Amen. I do have one more Sunday before, amen, we take a break. All right, let's finish up part of this paragraph anyway. So here again, we've said there are two different things. We've also said that the ritual has to do with the kingdom and the new covenant. It's not part of the grace covenant. And the ritual of water cannot incorporate you or place you into the body of Christ, and is not even meant to signify, amen, a visible church. But it is speaking about, as we've just read, the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so we were placed and baptized and received into the body, but no water put us there.
Mm-hmm.
And so those that come, amen, there's no foolproof that you're going to a ritual. Now, let me say this and I sit down. There is indeed no allowance made to water baptism in the gospel of grace.
Right.
Again, there is indeed no allegiance.
No alliance, rather.
Mm-hmm. There's no allowance made to water baptism. You won't find it. Is it what Paul said? But that's what Paul was saying. And Paul said, he didn't send me to baptize.
Right.
He was saying, he didn't send me to perform. No, we're going to that next week. No ritual.
Right.
He didn't send, God didn't send me to perform a ritual. That's what he's saying. He didn't send me. But other than that, as a doctrinal basis of salvation being confirmed, you won't find it in our gospel. It's not there. Now, limited knowledge, as I close for today, of this grace is testified both in the Old and new covenants, and frequently signified by water, which is alluded to as baptism, or being baptized. That's where we get that terminology from. The symbolism of water is because of the plenteous abundance and superabundance of it, then bestowed, as is expressed by floods and rivers, and in John chapter 4, verse 11, and John chapter 7, verse 38, as a well of living water. Amen. But this is what qualifies and fits those who are auspicated on the ordinances of water baptism in non-grace dispensations. So you're already in trouble if you're trying to mix the dispensations, and you can always be confused. You've got to take them and you've got to separate them. Amen. And know, amen, that when they're talking about water, when they're talking, amen, the essence of the Spirit, but when you're in the gospel of grace,
automatically,
you can exclude water. Now, we shall finish this up next week. I didn't get it done today. We shall finish this up next week. And I said to you, you must have the complete understanding, knowledge, amen, so that you will know why you saved, what got you saved, because remember, whatever got you saved, it's got to keep you saved.
Amen.
And so, if you shake it with what got you there,
right,
there's not ever going to be any confidence that you are there.
Right.
Amen. But you are there because you were there, because in eternity, amen, by one spirit were you baptized into one body. We'll finish it next week. God bless you.